Ryan Rashad. Now, Shagar, were you a baseball fan at all?
I really wasn't. I just was so focused on hockey. I tried playing baseball when I was like 7. And I remember there was a big red-headed pitcher for the Tigers, was really mean, and threw the ball close to me a couple of times, and that was it. I buckled. That was the end of my baseball career.
Close.
So, yeah, no, that's about the extent of it.
Now, by close, are we talking rush back at age 7 here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was 7 years old, so it could have been 3 feet away from me, and I might have just—it might have still felt like it just barely grazed the tip of my nose or something. So, I don't know. I just didn't—I didn't like it. I didn't like standing in the batter's box having a guy throwing at me, and it rattled me. And I was still, it took me a few years to sort of get a few calluses and get a little tougher, so that I could have a little bit more of a hockey playing attitude. But yeah, I was a softer, more sensitive type, and those types of things kind of scared me off a little bit.
I don't know, that's fair. Were you just as annoying as a kid though with your stupid pranks?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, trust me, I know you're the jabroni who filled my gloves with wrapped up paper the other day, so don't worry, I'll get
you.
What
do you mean?
Oh, stop, Rashog, stop. You're the worst liar going. Edmonton Oilers, another
like a terrible prank.
Another, yeah, it is. Well, it's annoying, terrible. Another should-win game for this team against the Florida. I don't know if you watched any of that game last night, but man, the Panthers looked awful. Like there was a I don't know how that Lance Boma goal got called off. Like I don't like the rule, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that could have been a 7-2 game. Like they really weren't in that game.
Well, here come the Florida Panthers, right? And not just the Florida Panthers, but the injury-riddled Florida Panthers. They've got some redeeming qualities in their organization. They really do, but just they're just not healthy. And so you get a team that is way down in the standings and missing their core players, that's had some controversy swirling around them, some upheaval in various management coaching positions. It's just a big old ugly witch's brew of ugliness. And so what it looks like on the bingo card for the Oilers is a good opportunity to keep a streak alive and a good opportunity to put their thumb on a team that's struggling. And so another test. It's a game they should win. Todd McClellan said the other day, sometimes those are the hardest ones when Arizona came to town. Games against a team that's down in the standings that you know you should beat at home, those sometimes can be the knee knockers. So we'll see how they do tonight. If they are steady as she goes and come out with a good start and take the will away from the Panthers early, or if they do get the knees knocking a little.
Yeah, that's the thing, Ryan. I don't know about you, but when I watch a game and look at segments of the season, there's those little mental boxes you check, you know. They've checked that one with Arizona, I think it's safe to say. You know, inexplicably just couldn't handle them until this season. The teams that come in tired, and if they don't do what you expect, you're thinking, okay, this is a better team, but is it a good enough team to contend? Because truly good teams win this game tonight on home ice.
Well, they do, and the Oilers this year have been a team that more often than not wins this game on home ice. I mean, they really have been. And if you look at their schedule right now, while they're playing a lot of games and they're tired, like I'm not gonna sugarcoat it necessarily. 6 in a row at home is a soft spot in your schedule. That's a spot you need to take advantage of. That you have to pull a lot of points out of a homestand like that, especially when you've got Nashville, Florida, Jersey, Arizona. I mean, these are teams you got to be beating on this homestand. And so far, outside of the San Jose game, the Oilers have held up their end. And so you get this team coming in that has, I mean, if they lose this game tonight, it'll be such a letdown because I think they believe they're a much better team this year that can handle these games. The one thing that we've been waiting for from this group is a little bit better starts and a little bit, even on home ice, where they come out and really impose their will on a team early, where it's an opponent they should be better than. And when they come out and lean heavily on them and let them break, as opposed to, let's see how hard Florida wants to work tonight, and the Oilers will work just hard enough to get past them. No, they got to get away from that and really come out pounding in the early going.
Yeah, you know what? I thought the Oilers' start against Arizona might have been their best. Now, Arizona looked terrible, but that was one where they just were relentless, just kept going kind of wave after wave. And the schedule maker, you mentioned the six games. Also, the fact that they've had a team on the second of back-to-backs. They do it tonight. They'll do it again on Friday against non-playoff teams. You got to take advantage of it. This team is slowly starting to show signs that they're better prepared to do that. And the other thing is the Panthers, no Huberdeau, no Barkov, no Bukestad. Like, their offensive punch, Ryan, is they're coming to a gunfight with a BB gun.
Well, and that's just it, right? So they don't have a lot to throw at the Oilers. And if you give them a reason to go, here we go again in the early going, chances are the team will do that. If you give them a reason to feel like they can be in the game and that they've got a chance to earn some back, then they're probably going to do that. So that's why. I mean, the Oilers are the superior team. They've got a healthier lineup. They have a better lineup. They've got a lot going for them right now. This is a game they should be able to grab by the throat early and not give Florida a chance to be in it. Now, Panthers are going to work hard, too. They got a lot of proud players, too. They're all NHL players. And so it's not just easy, but as you pointed out, they were real good in their start against Arizona in a similar situation, very similar situation, and now they have to duplicate that against Florida.
Ryan, a couple players I want to get your take on. I thought earlier this season Milan Lucic was doing what he needed to do, maybe not to the satisfaction of some people, but I thought maybe he suffered from that big man's the way people look at the big guys sometimes. He's not a pretty player to watch. He's kind of awkward even when he's going well. Lately, though, I have last four or five, six games maybe, haven't liked his game as much. Flip side, there were times when I thought Jordan Eberle deserved a fair amount of criticism. I've liked his game a lot more lately. I know the bottom line is producing, but I think he's been pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about Eberle's coming out the other side of it, I think, and I think his game is coming out the other side of it, even if the points aren't following. So, you know, I think it's only a matter of time now. Jordan's—he's getting to the interior, he's getting opportunities, he's hitting posts and getting robbed. So that's normally the sign that the guy's coming out of it. The quality in his game is definitely better than it was a month ago. I agree with that. Lucic is, listen, I think best case scenario for the Oilers is he's having a similar acclimation period that Sekera had when they first brought him into Edmonton on the big deal, where Sekera is playing much better the next season, much more comfortable, much more settled into his game. I don't know, maybe that's what's happening with Lucic, that it's just taking a little bit of time, and he'll be one of those guys that takes some time to get settled in. That's kind of a best case scenario for the Oilers. Worst case scenario is that, the game is getting away from him a little bit, that the speed is a little bit of an issue, he's having trouble handling the puck, and that it's maybe getting past him a little bit. I don't think that's the case. He's still a young player. He's shown us this year that he can dominate when he wants to or when he gets his mind to it. So, to me, it's a little bit of physical complacency with Lucic. I think he's just got a little physically complacent. And when that happens in a player like this, who succeeds when he's got some snarl happening, I think he just kind of needs to get there in his own head. Patrick Maroon did it earlier this year. He knew he physically had gotten complacent, gotten a little comfortable, and he made changes. And Lucic needs to do the same thing. And when he does, I think the rest of his game will come around.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Rashog Report brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. Lucic is a guy who obviously needs to get going. Juju Arcara scored his first NHL goal. Obviously was excited about it. Everybody, family, friends, community were big excited about it. Now it's kind of, and I talked to him this morning about, he goes, hey, that was great. I want to stay in Edmonton. Do you think he stays this time?
Well, I think he's got a good chance to. I mean, some of it will depend on what Puljujärvi does in the minors. Like, if Puljujärvi really shoots the lights out and does great, and he looks like he could be a solution for what's ailing him on the right side at the NHL level, then he comes up. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, but doesn't that take wouldn't that take more Slepyshev in the top nine spot?
Well, it could. Yeah, definitely. So now you've got Slepyshev, Kara, Hendricks all battling for that ice time. And I do think Kara could stay up if he can be consistent, man. Like, We've talked about his assets before on the show. You can see what he's capable of. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's built. The guy is an NHL caliber player in the making, and it's just a matter of getting some opportunity and being consistent. So he's not going to produce a ton of points. I don't think that's going to be in his game in the early going here in the NHL. So if you're not producing a ton of points, what are you doing on a third and fourth line? You watch what Cassian is doing and why he's effective while not producing a lot of points. It's because he's skating fast and he's hitting hard. He was one of the best Oilers as far as the forecheck went the other night. He was great turning over pucks and creating mayhem. Kara can't get comfortable. He cannot get comfortable. He needs to continue to be aggressive and physical and pursue the puck so that if the points dry up, there's still a very clear reason why he's in the lineup every night. You can't be a guy who, when the points dry up, you don't really bring much else. You kind of get invisible. That can't happen. And so if he can do that and he has the physical tools to do it, then, yeah, there will be a place for him in this lineup.
That's interesting. You touched on that earlier too, Ryan. It sounds silly to say because he's just trying to break in, but he can't be comfortable. He's got to be consistent. And if he moves his feet and gets to where the play is, that's where the hits are. That's where the puck is. When you got that much size and bless the skating ability, you just have to use it, don't you?
No, you do. And like Kara, I think he knows it. I think he understands it. I'm not sure. I mean, sometimes when guys come up and they get an opportunity and they have some success early, you guys remember when he came up and I think he had a fight pretty early on. I think he had a couple of pretty good games early on and he kind of had a little bit of confidence going and he bought himself a little bit of goodwill, bought himself a little bit of a stay. And then the bottom came out from underneath him and he stopped hitting. The offense wasn't coming and he just became another guy. I mean, just another guy in the lineup that was eating up minutes. So, I mean, he needs to establish a baseline game. Whether the goals are coming and the chances are coming, this is what you get from Jujhar Khaira every night. Fast skater, doesn't turn away from any opportunities to hit people, hard on the forecheck, good on the wall in his own end. I mean, these are all the characteristics of bottom six forwards that they have to have. And he has the ability. So really, it's entirely up to him because it's there, and it's mental. It's can you do that night after night after night? The points are going to come eventually, and who knows at what level they come, but the one thing he can control is how aggressive and how physical he is, and he needs to control those things. Like we've seen Cassian do all year long, the points haven't been coming. They've been coming and going, but he has been consistent in his skating and his physical play and at least being somebody that can be relied on for a certain role on that fourth line.
Shocker, one last one on the blue line. Oscar Klefbom, went through a little bit of growing pains earlier this year. What have you felt about his game in the last week or two?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's coming around. Like, Oscar, you know, I find when the quality comes out of Oscar's game, it's because he starts maybe trying to do too much or get a little bit too fancy or make passes that aren't simple. I think his game is really, really good when he simplifies things, makes the easy pass, and doesn't try and get too cute. And I think he's maybe gotten back to doing a little bit more of that lately. Makes a simple first pass out of his own zone. Don't look off the first guy that's there. Just give it to him. In the offensive zone when he's throwing pucks towards the net. Like, I mean, I think we all need to keep in mind that he is still relatively inexperienced. And while he's got a paycheck that would indicate he's not, he actually is. And so there's going to be some ebb and flow in his game. There's going to be some up and down. But I think he's brought it back around. And I don't think he's the smartest player on the ice. I don't think the hockey sense is the highest on that blue line by a stretch. But if he keeps it simple in his own end and is aggressive in the offensive end at getting pucks at the net, I think there's real value in his game. I think he's been better.
One last one for me, Ryan. When you look at Brandon Davidson, do you see a player who's still trying to get his legs under him a little bit?
Oh, totally. Yeah, he's had a tough go with some injuries and not been able to play consistently. And for a player like Davidson, who really is still trying to get his NHL feet under him, it's devastating to have injuries like that happen. I mean, he had such nice momentum last season, but the injury bug has bitten this player at a couple of critical times, almost Tyler Pitlick-like. But he did put together a good, solid, whatever, what was it, guys, 50 games or something like that, mm-hmm. and proved he belonged in the league. Unfortunately for him, the injury bug has kept him from being able to build off of that. He's just trying to get back to the level he was at before, never mind push it to another level. And so, I mean, I'm looking for him to just get back to where he was before and play solidly for 10 games and then maybe see if there's another level in him. But so far, he hasn't gotten back there yet.
No, he's definitely taking some baby steps to get back there. Shogger, we'll see you at the rink.
Okay, sounds good, guys.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. That's the Rashog Report brought to you by Auto City. I'm